Our study continues in the 44th chapter of Ezekiel. We're in the 24th verse of that chapter. And this portion of the chapter is giving some of the particular rules that the priests are to observe. And in this 24th verse, we've already covered most of it in the previous lesson. He says, "And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments." So that the priests then were to act as judges. They were to settle matters that were of dispute among the other members of the body of God's people. And they would judge it according to my judgment. That is, they would use the judgment of God. They would not use any kind of bias or prejudice or man-made ideas, but they simply went on what God's law and will was in these matters. And then he says, "And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies." So when it came to a matter of assemblies, these were God's assemblies. They were not man's assemblies. And they were to follow the laws and statutes of God in these assemblies. They couldn't worship God just any way they wanted to. They couldn't practice the things that seemed to be just expedient to them. Couldn't leave out anything. Couldn't add anything in. But it was God's assemblies, and so they were to keep His laws and His statutes in the assemblies. And of course, we know that that's very, very true today. In the church, whenever we meet to worship God, according to the way that He's prescribed for us to worship, this is His assembly, and then we are bound to keep His laws and His statutes in that assembly. And then He says in this last phrase of the 24th verse, "And they shall hallow my Sabbaths." The priests of all people were to be the ones who would certainly recognize the Sabbath. They were to keep the Sabbath day holy. They were to hallow it. They were to be a leader and an example in this most important item of reverence to God. Verse 25, "And they shall come at no dead person to defile themselves." Now, the priests were not to come close to a dead body, because this would defile them. The only exception was those that were of near kin. He further says, "But for father or for mother, or for son or for daughter, for brother or for sister that hath no husband, they may defile themselves." So they could break this rule in the case of a near kin person. They could come close to them. It would be natural for the priest to have a certain amount of grief, a certain amount of need to come close to a near kinsman who had died, but still they had defiled themselves when they did so. There was an exception to the rule that God did allow. Then he says in verse 26, "And after he is cleansed, they shall reckon unto him 7 days." That is, it would take a period of 7 days to be cleansed once he had come close to this dead person. Verse 27, "And in the day that he goeth into the sanctuary, under the inner court, to minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer his sin offering, saith the Lord God." So he was to make an offering for sin when he had done this, when he had defiled himself by coming close to a dead body, even though it was the body of a near kinsman, which God made the exception for. He still was defiled, and he still had to have the period of 7 days for cleansing and then offer his sin offering when he finally did go into the sanctuary. So we can see how meticulous God was, how careful he was about preserving the cleanliness, the sanctity, the holiness, and the purity of the priests. And of course, we today, in this temple of God, we are to also be holy. We're to also be pure. And we go by the rules that God's laid down for us in keeping ourselves free from those things that are considered to be unclean. In verse 29, he talks about the inheritance of the priests. He says, "And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance, and ye shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession." So the priests were not to own land like the other tribes. They did have some land. They did have some cities set aside for the Levites, but they were not to own land like the other tribes did. They were to depend upon God and the things that God provided for them, their service in the tabernacle, the things that they got as a result of their service in the tabernacle. That was their possession, and God was their possession. Now let's bear in mind that we're talking about a situation that is figuratively and spiritually talking about the church. The church in which all the members today are priests, then they look to God for their inheritance. They look to God for their possession. They do not expect to be given a possession in this land as a result of their holiness, as a result of their faith, as a result of their following the true and living God, but they expect God to provide for them. God is their inheritance. So they do not lay up for themselves the treasures on this earth and let that be where their heart is. True, they're going to have some possessions in this life. They may have many possessions in this life, but it's not because that's where their heart is. It's not because that's where they are counting their inheritance to be, but their inheritance is in heaven. Their possession is with God. God is their possession. And the things about God, the things of His temple, the things of His service, that is their possession. So he says in verse 29, they shall eat the meat offering, and the sin offering, and the trespass offering, and every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. So that the things that came into the temple to be offered, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and all the dedicated things, that belonged to the priest. That was their possession. That was their inheritance. Not because they got out and made a deal for it, or got out and worked and made money and bought it, or because they inherited it from their family, but it's because it was the thing that were given to the Lord, which then in turn belonged to the priest. Now, this is also laid out for the priest of the Levitical system in the book of Leviticus, the 27th chapter. In verse 30, and the first of all the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblations, shall be the priest's. Ye shall also give unto the priest the first part of the dough, that ye may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. So the first of everything that was given was then ultimately going to belong to the priest. So the priest would get not only the first of the fruits, but the best of the fruits. And even the first part of the dough that they would make in their homes went to the priest. And the result of all this was, whenever the people took care of the priest, then the result was that you may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. This would be a blessing to the people to provide for the priests. So all the things that the people did to support the priests, to add to the possession that the priest had through their dedicating it to God, then this would result in a blessing to that house. And ultimately then, they received very great payment for what they gave to the priest. Because anything that results in a blessing to the house, that is something that is of very great value. Then verse 31, the priest shall not eat of anything that is dead of itself or torn, whether it be fowl or a beast. So the priest were not to go out and to scavenge the dead animals and to get their sustenance that way. They were to be provided for by the first fruits. They would be provided for by the things that the people gave in the service to God. And consequently, then, they had fresh animals, fresh produce. They did not have to stoop to the level of salvaging something that was found dead or something that was torn up by another animal. And consequently, this kept them from defiling themselves with these dead beasts. It shows us that God did not intend for His priest, even though He was their possession, even though they did not have a true inheritance. He did not intend for these priests to be beggars and scavengers, but intended for them to live as well as the rest of the people lived. We're now ready to move into the 45th chapter of Ezekiel.